Luke 2, verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, that was Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So here we are at the beginning of a new year, new decade, the 2020s. Interestingly, the number 20 can have the meaning of being the completion of a time of waiting. For 20 years, Jacob worked for his wives, for his flocks, for his herds, until he came to the place where he's freed from the restrictions, freed from the bondage that Laban, his father-in-law, placed upon him. As another occasion, for 20 years, the children of Israel had waited to become free of Jabin, king of Canaan, who oppressed them, and God raised up Deborah and Barak, and they were set free. For 20 years, the ark remained in a place called Kiriath Jearim after the Philistines had stolen it in battle, and then after all the plagues came out on them, they returned it there, and it stayed in that place for 20 years. And at the end of 20 years, the people, under Samuel's direction, recommitted themselves to God. It was a new beginning again. And here we are, 2020. It is the year that so many prophetic people have been speaking about, been looking forward to this year. Bob Jones, many years ago, he talked about three phases that would take place, each being of 20 years. So there was going to be 20 years of raising up leaders, pouring out new wine. And that has taken place. And then there was going to be a second period of 20 years, which was going to be preparing people for the harvest. And then comes harvest time. David Roos, who prophesied back in 1994, when that new wine was being poured out, he said, "I say to you, you thought my movement has begun. I tell you, it is yet to begin. This is just a preparation. I'm growing up a plant. You thought you felt wind, it's been nothing. My wind will blow on this plant and its seeds will go forth to the nations of the earth, bringing forth the greatest harvest written page or oral tongue has ever declared in the nations." And last year, some has heard John Arnott saying that God is about to do something we don't understand, but we know it's God's. 2019 was the year of transitioning into harvest. Emma Stark said this. She said, "I have to tell you, prophets are clamoring to get to 2020 because they know we're entering into a decade in 2020 like the 60s was in terms of a radical turnaround in that next decade for the nations." And again, John Arnott said this, "Revelation of the Father's love is our starting point. As we fall in love with the Father, everything flows from that. We're coming into a season of the greatest signs and wonders that will be given to people who really love Father God and are pressing into holiness." It's good, isn't it? I just want to remind you of some of these things. We're in this season, 2020. It's the time of it happening. Lionel Balls has written quite a bit around it. I want to read quite a chunk of it and just get the overall thrust of it. So you might not get all the detail, but just get the feel of what it is that she's saying about this year, this season that we're coming into. She said this, "The Lord spoke to me recently that 2020 would be a year of bold faith. In 2020 and beyond, the body of Christ is going to be brought into a season of understanding in greater ways the truths of 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Or for we live by faith, not what we see with our eyes." That's important, isn't it? We don't just go with what we see. Our spiritual vision needs to be sharpened. in this new area that we have entered. Remember, we've entered it. We're 5 days in. We've already entered into it. In this new area that we have entered into, there have been many battles that have been facing in the body of Christ. And amid all the trials, battles, oppositions, and tribulations, the Lord has been doing a deep work within the hearts of his people. And we spoke a little bit about that when we're sharing at the beginning this morning. The Lord's been doing a deep work within the hearts of his people, inviting them into a realm of faith that they've not walked in before. He invites you in, you've still got to enter it, by the way. The Holy Spirit whispered to me halfway through 2019, Lana, I'm bringing my people into a place called resistance training. The heart of the Lord in that word was that he is building a people who live so deeply rooted and anchored in faith that with every trial, battle, and opposition they face, their faith muscles get stronger and stronger because they're living not by what they see in the natural, but by what they see in the spirit. In all things that the enemy meant for harm, the Lord is truly turning for good. As Joseph said to his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And God is drawing his people into a place of fortified faith unlike anything they've ever walked in before. The Spirit of God is working deeply in the hearts of his people in this new era that we're entering into, stirring a no tolerance for anything that opposes the promises of God. He is developing within his people a roar that says, no, I will not tolerate or accept this because it is contrary to what the Lord has spoken and is speaking. In many ways, 2020 is going to be a year of significant alignment. It is going to be a year of key alignments where the Lord is going to position his people in greater ways to walk in greater manifestation of their destiny and his plans and purposes. The level of acceleration and move of the Spirit of God in the lives of his people, in the church and in the earth will be unlike anything we have ever seen before. We have entered a completely new era and it requires a deeper place of having an ear upon his chest to hear what he is saying and walk by faith in every word that flows from his mouth. As Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Lord showed me that this deep fortification and maturing of faith taking place in the lives of believers must take place for us to be positioned and ready to partner with him in what would be the greatest move of the Spirit of God in the earth, unlike anything that we have ever seen. 2020 will be a year to not only take back what has been stolen, but to occupy new territories and new lands. The Lord has been thundering the word established to me regarding many things for the body of Christ. In 2020, there will be an establishing into the territories, new lands, and promises God has for his people without being uprooted. Amos 9 says, I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. There is an establishing and an occupying that is going to take place in 2020 and beyond for the people of God walking in a greater measure of their authority, identity, and destiny. The Lord will do an even deeper work in maturing the saints in faith in 2020. That will be one of the ways the Lord reintroduces the church to his power. For what is ahead and the glory of God being manifested and unveiling across the earth and the nations that we're going to see in this new era, the church must be a people who are engaging with the heart of God and living with the rhema word of God and are not shaken by circumstances. The Lord is doing a solidifying work within his people now to prepare us to partner with him in seeing explosive demonstrations of his power across the earth. The Lord is not looking for a weak bride who is tired, weary, and disappointed. He is breaking off all the hope deferred and the things that have hindered and lingered. He is preparing and raising up a church who takes the Lord at his word and moves on it with a fire of conviction that makes them unshakable and unmovable and partners with him to see impossibilities bow to the name of Jesus. The Lord will not only reintroduce the church to his power, but also to the power of the word of God. Yeah. In 2020 and beyond, the Lord is going to reintroduce the people of God to the power of the word of God. there will be a significant impartation of faith and conviction from the Holy Spirit in 2020 in lives of believers to see that the Word works. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Disappointment and hope deferred will no longer be a part of the story, but a fire of conviction and passion in the power of the Word of God to see impossibilities bound. It is imperative in 2020 and beyond that we have our ears to his chest and are living in the truth that we have been given the mind of Christ and are seeking the wisdom of God. As James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. There is a yielding to the ways of God that will be required from God's people in 2020 and beyond. It is a place where God will have you step out of the boat. It will be a place of stepping into new ways of building with him. It will be a place of stepping into new assignments and things you never imagined. It will be a place of having to trust the wisdom of God and the ways of God rather than any wisdom of man. There will be many blueprints the Lord will download in 2020 and beyond that will require you and I to go against the grain of what has been done or what man may be telling you to do, because it opposes the Rhema word of God. There is nothing wrong with wisdom from counselors. It is needed. But I feel strongly for 2020 and beyond that there is going to be a mighty separation of God's wisdom from man's wisdom, and a line drawn in the sand for the body of Christ to choose whom they will follow, God or man. Psalm 119, 112 will be one of the key scriptures for 2020 and beyond. I have determined in my heart to obey whatever you say, fully and forever. In 2020, the heart of God requires his people to make a determined decision of the heart and decree of the mouth to fully obey and trust the Lord and revelation of his ways. Wholehearted obedience to the Lord, even in the unexpected, going against the grain and what doesn't seem to make sense in the natural. That type of faith in his word and trust in his wisdom will position the people of God for demonstrations of his power, miracles, and partnership with his Spirit. We will see heaven come to earth and the glory and majesty of God unveiled in the earth in a way that we have never seen before. All of heaven will back the obedience of God's people. The favor, the provision, the weight of his glory and the hand of God upon and through the lives of those who will obey will be astounding. The Lord is coming in power. We have known him as the Lamb. He is now coming as the Lion in this new era. He whispered to me recently, "Ready or not, here I come." Our obedience, humility, and yielding to his ways is a place of preparation and making ourselves ready for the King of glory to come. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And the modern day Noahs are arising in this new era, and we will see more and more of them rising up in 2020 and beyond. They have heard the word of the Lord and obey no matter the cost. They obey fully and completely what the Lord has said. The Lord is looking for those in 2020 and beyond to whom he can entrust the secrets and wisdom of his heart, who will engage with him and his ways fully and build with him in his ways and strategy, no matter what it looks like. From this place, cities will be changed, nations will be impacted, families will be transformed, major demonstrations of his power will be seen, and moves of his Spirit bringing rapid and radical reformation will be demonstrated in significant ways. The Lord is extending the invitation to all, but it is our responsibility to make ourselves ready through faith, our humility, our obedience, and yielding to his ways. In this year of bold and courageous faith with explosive demonstrations of his power, the fear of man must be uprooted. This is the place of building and running with him like we have never seen before, a mighty wind of empowerment upon the saints of God to do what we never thought we could do and go where we never thought we would go with him. There will be mighty encounters with the Lord in 2020 and beyond, like Isaiah's will uproot fear of man. the revelation of his power, his majesty and his glory was so consumed the people of God with eyes and hearts towards him that the fear of man will have no place. The love and glory of God will so overtake and overwhelm the people of God that fear of man will have no place, leaving them and the church trembling in awe before him. These words then thundered around me. Many of God's people have feared man and the enemy rather than living in the fear of God. Now is the time for the people of God to be restored into the place of wonder and awe of God. The fear of God restored will uproot the fear of man once and for all. There would be a divine transaction that would take place in 2020 where many have trembled at the enemy and trembled at the thought of others' opinions or approval and rejection. The powerful restoration of the fear of God to the church would cause them to tremble at the holiness of God and the awe of God and his power. This will then raise up a people who answer the call of the Lord, "Who will go for us?" with a reply of, "Here I am, Lord, send me." A place of yes and answering the call no matter what it looks like. The Lord didn't give Isaiah the 10-step plan and then say, "Will you go for me?" The heart of God called him to partner with him, and because of the revelation of his majesty, his holiness, his greatness, Isaiah was left undone and completely changed. His vision shifted from seeing his sinfulness to seeing the glory of God. He was marked, branded, changed forever, and the fruit of this encounter was a yes to God and a commissioning. In 2020 and beyond, the fear of God will be restored to the church. The holiness of God and a wave of holiness will be restored to the church. A fire of purging and purifying will continue to blaze through the church, bringing forth a purity in the hearts and lives of believers, bringing the people of God into a greater place of preparation to partner with him in what he is going to do in the earth. It's not about being perfect. It's about being positioned and available, yielded. There is a weighty fear of the Lord and a sense of urgency in a glorious way that I feel on 2020 in what we speak. Part of the bold faith that the Lord is inviting us to walk in 2020 and beyond is aligning our mouths with what the Lord is revealing. 2020 will see a greater clarity come to hearing the voice of God and seeing what he sees as we seek him. There is an invitation into alignment in 2020 to arise up in decreeing what he sees. There will then be a greater, accelerated, powerful demonstration of the manifestation of his word in the lives of believers. As God raises up a people in faith, in the revelation of the power of the word of God and the power of the mustard seed, decreeing what he is saying, there will be a divine establishment of the word in profound ways in 2020 and beyond. That is why God is training his people now to be careful what is on your lips and speak only what he sees. In 2020 and beyond, God's people will not only step up into greater authority and revelation of their identity and their seat and govern from that place, but will actually begin to see accelerated manifestation in the natural what God is seeing and saying. As you decree what he sees in 2020 and beyond, you will see that which he speaks. We have entered a new era, an era like no other. It is time to be positioned and prepared to see a move of God in our lives, in our families, our cities and nations, unlike anything we have ever seen. He is whispering, "Ready or not, here I come." My question and cry is, "Lord, am I ready? Make me ready." Get ready, people of God. Mountains are going to shake and be moved in 2020 and beyond as you step up into your identity and authority in Christ, operating in bold faith like you have never seen before, and reintroduced to the power of God that will change you forever. It's God. I know there's a lot there, but I just feel it's so important. So this is the heart of God for us. I can give you a copy if you want a copy. And so just let me know later and I can do that because it's something. Those of you who have been with us for a while know that we like to start the year with a focus on prayer. And that's not that we don't pray at other times, of course. And last year, remember, we had our 40 days of prayer and fasting. But this year, I want to take time in our groups looking at prayer and, of course, praying. And on Sundays, we're going to be looking at a number of the prayers of Paul, as I was saying, starting next week. But the whole objective is this, is that we should pray. And actually what I've read to you from the various prophecies, you know, need praying in. Not just words that we just file away somewhere. We pray them into being. We've also had the John Melindy prophecy for many years. It was brought to us personally as a church by a team from Uganda. And there's a whole lot in it. But let me just highlight this little bit. If you have heard it before, many of you. If you will answer this call of Britain and give yourself to institute prayer in your land and seek the Lord with all your heart, with groaning and travailing prayer, even as a woman in labour pains, if you will repent of your sins and iniquities, if you will heal the wounded hearts within you and cause unity to abound among your peoples, if you will return to your redemptive purpose and again be faithful to the work of being a witness of the gospel in the nations, then God will release upon you a mighty outpouring of his Spirit. You will again be clothed with the glory of the Lord, and you will be a nation that bears the name of the Lord like a banner in the sky. We love those bits. The key to it is prayer. It is prayer. He's showing us what he wants to outpour upon us and from us. The key is prayer. Prayer is always the key. Prayer is the heart of God for us. Lawrence, a long time ago from Zambia, said this about us: I have a feeling in my heart that the Lord is releasing revival in your midst. There is a sense of expectation, but it is mixed with fear because people do not want to disturb the status quo. However, as the Lord increases your church in prayer life, fear will be melted and boldness will enter. And that's so true. And it's a partnership again. It's as we commit ourselves to prayer, God will help us in that praying. He will do place, but we work with him. And they went on to say this: even though we're very far from you, we too have this anticipation in our spirits of a mighty move of the Holy Spirit amongst you that will shake every status quo. In fact, we sense it has already begun. We see a church of men and women filled with fear and awe of God. And that was in that last verse of prophecy as well. The fear and awe of God, kneeling and bowing their heads before God in humility and brokenness, singing to the Lord and praising him for the splendor of his holiness. And it's, if you like, there's a sense of harp and bowl and of that, that somebody may understand what that means. It's prayer and praise. We had it when Ecclesia Rising, when they were here, Lulu had a picture. You can have a better look at it later. She gave this to me just before she left. And I kind of found this an interesting picture. This is a well, a bell-shaped, big bell-shaped well. What she didn't know is that when we had the new entranceway built, they discovered a well under the floor there that they had to span because of the issue. It was literally, that was it. I saw it because the builders had a problem. They brought me up here to have a look at it. And it's a brick-lined bell, big bell chamber well. It's literally in the entranceway here. So I kind of was fascinated the shape of it. And it said it's a deep well filled with living water. And just like that. And on top of it, there's just this layer of oil, the oil of the Spirit. And there's fire that's rising up, the fire of God that is rising up from it. And above there you get what's described as a sweet incense, which is that is rising, the worship to God that is rising up. And she's saying, this is the picture, the saw of this place. And I just love that there. So that was interesting. What God is, as we worship, as we pray, prayer, worship together, all of those things taking place. In this passage in Luke 2 that we read, Anna was described as a prophetess. But I was kind of interested, having described her as a prophetess, we then are told that she spent her life in prayer and fasting. Kind of interesting, isn't it? It's highlighting the fact that there is a link between the prophetic and a lifestyle of prayer. And it's so easy, I think, for us to separate all these things out. We love boxing people into these separate things. But the prophetic and prayer go very much hand in hand. If you would go back into Luke, in Luke 1, if you remember that both Mary and Zechariah sang prophetic songs, there's the link to it all. It wasn't separated out. And here we have Anna, whose name means grace, who is the daughter of Phanuel, whose face of God. I just kind of like that. Interesting. There, with her father there, you know, in him, she's seeing something of the face of God. She was of the tribe of Asher. We're given this information. Asher was a favored and prosperous tribe. They provided olive oil for pretty much the nation. And olive oil is about worship, isn't it? It's about his spirit, his presence. It was a tribe that was a blessing to the whole nation. She was from that tribe. Their land was a fertile land. And the women of Asher were described as having a particular beauty about them, often sought out by the priests to be their wives. And so perhaps it was a natural thing for her to remain at the temple when tragically her husband died when she was so young. And from that time, her whole life was devoted to God. And that's what we read there, that how she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Well, that's it. She never left the temple. It became her life. Do you know now that the temple never leaves you? We're the temple. There in 1 Corinthians 3 it says this: do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and the God's Spirit lives in you? And this was a statement that Paul was making collectively about the people. Collectively, as we meet together, whether it's like this morning in our groups, whatever we meet together, we are creating a temple in which God lives by his Spirit. There's something about when we gather together, there is an aspect of his presence amongst us that is unique, is different. There's a dynamic there. We are creating a temple. A temple for the Spirit of God to be in. And later on in Corinthians, as Paul carries on speaking in chapter 6, verse 19, he says this: do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you receive from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And there he's talking about them individually. So we're a temple collectively, we're a temple individually. You see, when God places his Spirit in us, it's not kind of an abstract thing. He comes to live in us. You know, the physical temple was created as a place where God would dwell. It was specifically built for that purpose. Every part of it was set apart, was sanctified, and made it holy. And the psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are made with purpose. We are made to be the dwelling place of God's, that we're one with him, that he lives in us, we live in him. I kind of wonder, what difference would it make if each one of us really, really got hold of that? How would it change the way we live our lives? If we grasp who we are, the oneness that we have, this temple that we are. We also say that, you know, worship encompasses the whole of life. And Anna expressed that so well, didn't she? It wasn't simply an add-on. It wasn't something that she did from time to time. But every moment of her life was lived in as worship. And that is a call for each one of us. Of course, it will express itself very differently in each of us. But our lives are to be lives of worship. There's that great song by Reuben Morgan that says this: this is my desire, to worship you, to honour you. Lord, with all my heart I worship you. Remember this song? All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. It's a beautiful song, and it's a grips you when you sing it. But it has to become more than a song that we sing from time to time. It's a lovely song and it stirs us. It has to be an attitude of heart. It has to be a life commitment. Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to give you every part of me. every day of my life, how that works out, how that works out in my workplace, in my home, in my family, when I'm doing the shopping, whatever, you know, whatever it fills your day. Lord, show me how to make that worship, how to make that one with you. He says it's out of that attitude of heart that true worship flows. You could also say that Anna lived a fasted lifestyle. Do you remember that from last year with Mike Bickle? Do you remember that? Do you remember the five things? No, I'll remind you. It was food. It was fasting. It was about physical things, emotional strength, natural strength. It was fasting food from time to time. It was fasting your time. It was laying down your time for God, for other people. It was fasting energy in order that you might pray, a lifestyle of prayer, to pray continually. It was about fasting your money. It was about the way you use your money to bless other people and not just for yourself. And maybe very challenging to many of us is fasting your words. It's not defending yourself. It's allowing God to be your defender. And so you button your lip. You don't take that opportunity to defend yourself. Anna was devoted to God. She was passionate for God. And her relationship with God was nurtured through prayer and through fasting. And it was interesting, it was through that the true prophetic was released. And I think it's true to say each and every one of us wants the true prophetic. And it's just a reminder that the way the true prophetic comes out of a lifestyle of prayer and worship. We need to be a people of prayer. If you have a heart for the prophetic, you need to have a heart for prayer. Because it is a conversation with God that he speaks to you out of that time that you spend with him. The true prophetic flows. And do you see the focus of it? We saw that she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to redemption of Jerusalem. It's just this reminder that the prophecy will always lift up Jesus. Directly or indirectly. It will always do that. I think if it doesn't in some shape or form lift up Jesus, then we need to just think again, was that really the prophetic word? What was that? Prophecy lifts up Jesus. And of course it takes us back to worship. There in Revelation 19 says this, worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him, isn't it? It's the heart of it. It's the heart of prophecy. It's about him. It's lifting him up. Not many people are called to a life like Anna. It's not that we're saying, okay, let's all just withdraw and become like Anna. Hers was a specific and unusual calling. But we may not be called to that lifestyle, but we're all called to a lifestyle of prayer. Each and every one of us, individually and collectively, it's foundational. It's an ongoing conversation with people. At the end of the day of Pentecost, we're given a summary of the way that they were to live their lives as they have been forever changed from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and all that transformed in their lives. And there in Acts 2:42 it says this, they devoted themselves, that's a big word, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These four things they devoted themselves to. Teaching, good teaching is essential. Paul warns Timothy there in 2 Timothy 4, he says this, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. The Message puts it like this. He says, you're going to find that there will be times when people have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. And sadly, I think we are living in a time like that, that there's so many people who are simply coming about with the same things that people want to hear that will give them a following. And sometimes we need to be challenged, we need to be provoked a bit. So they had teaching, good teaching, fellowship. We need each other. We do, we really do. And Satan knows that why it's an area of key attack. In Hebrews 10, it says this in verse 24, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." He wasn't saying this because he wanted a tick box, so he wanted to get lots of people together so that we could, you know, abide by the rules or whatever. But the issue is that as we meet together, we are mutually encouraged and strengthened. And I think it's more essential than ever in the day in which we live. And yet, perhaps it's under more pressure than ever before because there's so many demands, so many different pulls. There's something that happens when we meet together to worship, to pray, to learn together, to encourage one another. And then he talks about the breaking of breads, communion, whatever you want to call it. I would say that's not just for when we are together. When we showed up, I never want to hurry it. There is a special presence of Jesus at his table, and those times are wonderful. But as I think Doreen was mentioning earlier, you know, don't be afraid to take communion in your homes as often as you need to, as often you're stirred to, with your family and friends, in our groups, whatever. You know, all those times that we can do that. And then, of course, the prayer that he said they were devoted, like Anna, they were devoted to prayer. And I say again, as we go into this year, let's take every opportunity. Let's create opportunities to pray. Let prayer be the first thing that comes to mind, rather than as all else seems to have failed and maybe I might just think about praying. How often, if we're honest, is that the case? We struggle on and we try everything and then think, well, maybe I could pray something. Let's switch the order. Let's go there. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said that in Ephesians 6, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." That needs to be our lifestyle, where we think about all occasions, all kinds of prayers, that we might do that. So over the coming weeks, we're going to have a focus on prayer. You don't have to wait. You can start now. You can get a head start. There's just one final verse there, Zechariah 10:1, an intriguing verse. It says this: "Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime." Now, with our Western mind, we're thinking, oh, that's terrible. You know, I just want the sun to shine, the rain to stop, and it just to be lovely. But in the culture where that was being spoken into, the whole point of it was springtime rain was needed that they might be able to cultivate the ground, sow the crops, because without that, they were not going to get harvest. But it was also, in their time, it was a time of year when rain was to be expected. You got rain in the springtime. So why is he saying, pray for rain? Ask the Lord for rain in springtime. He's saying, well, that's when it rains. Why do I need to ask? It's going to happen. But this whole thing, God loves us to ask things he's planning to do anyway. It's not that we just simply ask for things that we think God may not have thought about, as if God hadn't thought about those things. But, you know, but we've heard so much, even this morning, things I've shared, the prophetic words over this year. The temptation can be that we all sit back and think, well, okay, well, if I'll just wait and see what happens, see if that was true or not. And, you know, comes the end of the year and reflect back and thinking, well, that didn't happen, did it? And that didn't happen. We need to be praying. We've got something, if you like, to get our teeth into. We've got some things to be praying about. God, you have said, you know, ask for rain in the season of rain. It's a time for the outpouring of heaven. God, you have spoken. Lord, give me a fear of you. Give me an increase in my desire to pray. All the things that God has spoken about. Break off that intimidation. Draw me closer to your hearts. And don't just pray once or just for this year. It's something that we pray ongoing over this time. And pray in confident expectation. Not one of those, God, if it be your will, I hope, perhaps, maybe you could see yourself to possibly you know, if you're not too busy, think about doing something. Pray with confident expectation that God, bold, powerful prayers that will change things. And in doing so, we need to give ourselves afresh to God, knowing that both individually and collectively, we are His temple. And what do they do in the temple? They pray. We need to pray from that place of being His. So that's my heart for us this year, as we go forward into this year, that we may take hold of it. Be a people of prayer, praying in the promises of God. So Father, we thank You. We thank You have brought us to such a time as this. We thank You for this new year, this new decade, this new season. We thank You for the stirring in our spirits of the things that You have been speaking. Some of those things that we have been having a growing expectation in our hearts. And Lord, now we are in this new year. Lord, give us hearts to pray. Give us hearts to seek Your face. Help us to understand who we are in You. Help us to understand the authority that You have given to us, the calling that we are, that we are Your people, we are Your body, we are Your temple. We thank You, Lord, for these words that You have spoken about this year. And Lord, we cry out to You for there to be that outpouring of heaven. We pray, Lord God, that You would pour out rain on the dry ground. We pray, Lord God, for those people that we've been praying for. Some of those we've been praying for decades and we are yet to see, Lord, the breakthrough. Lord, may this be the year of breakthrough. Lord, those golden bowls that You've filled up with those prayers over the years, tip them up, pour them out, we pray, that we might see the fulfillment of those prayers. Lord, take away the limitations that we place upon ourselves. Take away the doubts and the questions, that we may pray bold, faith-filled prayers in this year, that we may be declaring Your word with confidence and assurance of what You have spoken. Lord, we pray even today, Lord, would there be an outpouring of heaven in this place and from this place through each of our lives as we go back into our world in the different places You have positioned us. Lord, that we would take, Lord, You back with us. We would take this stirring within us. There will be an outflow from us, Lord God, into the hearts and lives of family, of friends, workplaces, communities, wherever it is You place us. Lord, that we may see a shift in hearts and attitudes, that You would lift the veil from those who cannot see, that You'll give hearts of flesh where it's been hearts of stone. There will be breakthrough in areas that we have felt unchanging over decades even. Lord, this is the day of Your favour. We thank You, Lord God, that all the years have been leading up to this moment. And now, Lord, You brought us to this day, the day of Your favour. Now is the day of salvation. And we thank You for it. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we would walk in its fullness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.